Yeah, that's it.
The only one that's got an outdry that hasn't touched the water. Hopefully. I think the guy's pretty good.
All right, Richard, you can start whenever you're ready.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. This is the regular commission meeting of the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission. Wednesday, February 26th, 2022. Join me in the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Danielle, would you do a roll call, please?
Larry?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Richard?
Here. Do we have any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
No. Okay, anybody need to declare a potential conflict of interest?
No.
Nope. Okay. With that, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as written. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Move to the approval of the minutes. Anybody have any comments, corrections, or additions to the minutes presented?
No.
Nope. Okay, anybody care to make a motion to approve or to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the workshop commissioners meeting on Tuesday, January 11th, 2022. Approve the minutes on the regular commissioner meeting for Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. And approve the special commissioners meeting Friday, January 28th, 2022.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the three meetings. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Public comments. I have no forms in front of me. Danielle, are you aware of any comments?
I have not received any.
Okay. That moves us to the management report, starting with the January 2022 safety and security report.
Port maintenance was reminded to report any accidents or incidences, beware of their surroundings, basic housekeeping things. Port office reviewed the stormwater pollution control plan and the spill prevention control plan and countermeasures. We did have a tsunami January 15th, so the next day afterwards, all the staff got together to go over what they experienced, any suggestions they had, and if one was to become sick or has COVID, how to go about it. Incidences for January, we had a winter storm January 3rd. Maintenance retired multiple vessels. We did have two vessels that the line snapped or the cleat came off the dock and hit the vessel next to them. Insurance was notified. Port staff came across a couple hydromic needles. The electrical panel at the back of the kite-filled restroom was vandalized. A vehicle was towed at the transient dock. There was a call from a mortgage holder regarding a wood piling that had broken at the sediment line, and insurance was notified of that incident. Security came across 61 security issues, both the night security and the port came across 61 security issues. We did our monthly inspections for the stormwater control plan, and Brookings experienced the tsunami January 15th. We had staff come down, inform our Livable Boards, tenants, RV park guests, and the public of the event, and to not enter onto docks, beaches, and waterways. The port did experience a tide change, but did not encounter any problems from the tsunami that the port is aware of. And that was January.
Any comments or questions?
I have a couple of questions. Are electrical panels, do they have locks on them? Said this guy broke the lock off, or was it just missing?
It was a panel that goes to a meter that Tewksbury Electric puts their own little lock on, and they ripped that whole thing off.
What was the issue with the parking with Zola's?
Employees
parking late.
Employees working late and parked out in the parking lot, so security, you know, does what they're supposed to. They go through, they put the parking tags on there. And some of Zola's employees we've had issues with before, and they can become very irate at them. So that's the issue, and we're working with Zola's that people that are working late, we can give them parking passes. Mm-hmm. You know, we're more than willing to work with them. They're choosing not to come in, so we're going to have to.
Well, last month there was an issue with the management at Zola's, wasn't there? So has that improved any, or is it still the same?
Well, management-wise, they were doing late night.
I'm sorry?
They were doing late night activities, and they were saying they were going to stop doing that, but then they had a Super Bowl activity late night, which they didn't inform us, so.
And then one final thing. Night security, are we on a contract now month to month, or did we do a long term?
We have a long term contract.
Okay.
2-year contract.
It seems to me they are doing an excellent job and have put up with a situation where somebody wants to get in their vehicle and then they have to be liable taking them across the bridge and all that sort of stuff. I think they're going way beyond what they contracted to do. That's it.
Anything else? Okay. Move to the January 2022 financial report.
All right, on our balance sheet, our unrestricted cash and equivalents totaled $666,008. The restricted cash and equivalents totaled $860,507. For their total assets, cash at $1,527,840. Our January profit and loss, total revenues from all funds was $377,485. Total expenses was $281,721. So our net income for December was $95,764. Most of that was contributed to RV park getting January reservations coming in. We have a lot, or July's, yeah, 6 months out. So people are reserving their spaces for July 4th and whatnot. So we're collecting a lot of money for 6 months in advance.
Well, I'm glad there's still optimism in the world that there'll be there. There'll be something going on. Definitely.
Yeah. Some of the unusual expenses in that month, we paid Aquarius Environmental to complete our DEQ Tier 2 report. That was $6,200 worth. Tidewater Contractors, they completed the paving repairs at Zola's parking lot between the two buildings. And then also we spent some money repairing some more piling hoops and repairing a ladder on the steel wall with the John's Portable Welding. Any questions?
Mike, have a question?
Gary, are we charging holiday fees on the RV for July 4th?
Huh? Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Any Okay. Any questions, comments? All right, that brings us to the January 2022 Harbor Master Report.
Okay. Three new security cameras were installed on top of the restroom. There was a rock found in the front row sewer line. It fit perfectly down the sewer pipe. Staff had to dig that up and cut it out. They spent one full day back there doing four of them, doing landscaping and getting all the winter kind of stuff from the rainstorms cleaned up, and it's looking good. They've been fixing benches, fence boards as they come up. We also had a on-site pre-construction meeting for our RV park project. This isn't in here, and we'll talk more about it in our next workshop, but the RV project is going to be delayed. Parts aren't in here yet, and there's some more stuff we have to work out with the electrical company about getting power over there. So I don't have a lot of information yet. We still have to talk to Crow Clay and figure out where we land right now, but it is going to be delayed for a while, possibly until wintertime. So we'll just have
next winter?
To the winter coming up. Due to summertime, we can't do it during summer. We have way too many people there. So we'll have more information for you guys, but just so you guys all know that the project's not going to be starting, next week, and we'll come back to you with more information.
They're having material delivery problems. So some of the electrical materials won't be here until June, so we don't want to do the work and not have things completed.
So we hope those RV spaces back up on the website.
They are currently back open and ready to rent. So on that note, I have 17% occupancy, which is hitting right about average for the month of January. In the marina, we made small repairs to cleats, water leaks, and removed quite a bit of debris from the basin. We also had three cameras installed on the commercial bathroom and three more cameras installed on the kite field bathroom. All of our cameras are up and running. There's a total of 25 now throughout the port, and they work very well and are giving us a great chance to see what's happening here, especially after hours. Let's see here. Telehandler jobs, we did 8. That was mostly because of the early crab season that we had, and a lot of the gears already getting changed over, the bigger boats are. So January we had quite a few telehandler jobs, and we had two haul outs. Pavement was done by Zola's, as Gary was saying. So staff went through and put tire stops, we remade some new lines, and just created a trash enclosure for that area. Oregon Life Homes, their leak area, which is the old Steel Coat building, they reported some dry rot on the fascia and leaking gutters. Staff removed the gutters and repaired all the rot and repainted it and put them back up. And we're also looking into the boatyard shop has some beams that are on the exterior walls that are rotted, and we put up some temporary posts underneath the truss, but we're going to wait on an engineer to kind of look at it, give us an opinion on where we should go with it next. Maintenance crew completed 109 work orders, and staff now has the wash water system that we purchased up and running in the boatyard. We're still waiting on an electrician to come wire it, but it still all runs with extension cords, so all of our wash water is getting put through that system. We will be testing it. It'll be in addition to a test so we can see how good the water is coming out of it and see if we need to do anything extra as far as treatment goes, but the water is significantly better as it is right now coming out. So that's it. Any questions?
So Travis, when you said to see what we would do more, hopefully I understood it right when we ordered it, that would be to add more filters or something?
If we have to add some more filters, when they pressure wash their boat, there's pretty dirty water.
Right.
And
okay.
So far it's working good, but we just need to test the water to make sure we're getting
We have those filters on hand
yep.
to add more.
I got extras already here.
Got a question on the trailer park, Travis. What are we planning on doing in the back row?
We don't have any plans.
Don't have no plan. I just wanted to check.
Right now, the project is
we all the
front
row.
All the front row, yeah. And then down the road, we'll have to look at the back row.
Okay.
So the plan going forward then would be to have the contractor get all the stuff stockpiled before we break ground and start actually digging?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any speculation as to how a rock, the exact size of the sewer pipe, got in the sewer pipe?
I can definitely speculate. It looked like a hand-placed rock.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well,
yeah, right.
Not down. I don't have them down in between each site. My guess is probably a youngster that was there put too much time on his hands.
Okay.
That's I can say.
The January 2022 Port Manager's Report.
All right. I spent some time with our new lawyer getting on board with the port. We spent a lot of time with vessel Miss Stacy. We do have more meetings to talk about Stacy. Remind everybody we did put a lien on the crab permit, his crab pots, and some of those gear on the boat. The boat lien, I think we mentioned this before, but the boat lien itself on Miss Stacy, the Coast Guard did not accept because it doesn't have the proper ownership. So until the proper ownership happens, then the lien can be placed on it. But, anyways, the permit has the lien on it, and the other equipment does.
Tell me again about the Coast Guard and
yeah.
the lien on the boat.
They did not accept the lien because the ownership is not, there's not the proper ownership on the vessel.
Documented vessel.
Right. Because it's still under Daisy as the owner, so they didn't accept the lien.
You can't put a lien on a documented vessel without going through a Coast Guard.
I find that a little hard to believe because what better reason would there be to put a lien on a boat than if the owner had died and it was in limbo? It seems counterintuitive to me that you wouldn't allow it.
Coast Guard.
Yeah, I'm not.
No.
You're right, the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Okay, so as Daniel mentioned, we did have a tsunami advisory that happened on January 15th on a Saturday. Travis and I did attend a virtual Business Oregon presentation with Washington's derelict vessels. That program, we'll have more information in a workshop about that program. But anyways, their program was, it looks pretty interesting, and I think Oregon is going to try to copy similar to that program. At least that's what they're looking for in the 2023 legislative session. So hopefully more information will come out on that before 2023 legislative session. Travis mentioned about the boatyard warehouse. Like you said, we had actually Jack out here yesterday with his engineers looking at it. I'll have more information on that at the next workshop meeting. We had another virtual meeting with Business Oregon about the dredging and FEMA's disaster planning and what to do after the disaster. And that. The Port of Brick is actually the feature of the meeting, so we put a presentation together and talked about our disaster that we're encountering and trying to achieve. So that was pretty fun to attend and present. The Portside RV Park lease, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that lease, that's by Cazatori's. They're leasing part of the parking lot that's Port property. The owner of that property is selling it, and we might have a new owner, so we may have a new lease with a new owner.
This says Portside RV Park. Is that the Portside Suites Hotel, or is it the RV Park?
It's Portside Suites.
Okay.
Suites, yeah. But years ago, that's what they put on the lease, was Portside RV Park, so. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that I'm talking about the motel and not.
Yeah, the motel and the restaurant.
Except the motel was sold separately. There's a new owner for that motel now. But the park is still owned by Ken Burtis, which he's selling. I think he's just selling that Mexican restaurant property. Mm-hmm. I understand.
Okay.
And that's going through the loan companies and stuff. So it hasn't been finalized. So whenever that finalized, we have the new owner, then we'll bring a new lease to the board. And then I had a meeting with Marcus Hines with the Oregon Coast. They are interested in helping to port out with possible grants for tourist type of items and also seafood grant program that would kind of showcase local seafood businesses. And they were interested in helping us out planning the charter boat sign that we were talking about, putting all the charter boats up on a sign. They have some people that are expertise on putting signs up and designing type of structure for those signs, so I'll be working with them and give the board some information once that's completed.
Great.
Questions?
Any questions or comments? I am concerned about that building, the shop building. Well, when we get more information, I guess we'll have a discussion then about what the future holds for that.
I think Travis did mention that we did put supports under those areas, but.
Right. Well, that's perfectly sensible from a safety perspective, so it doesn't fall down. But if it's as bad as it looks.
It's as bad.
Okay.
Which one's that, Richard, the big one?
Your building.
Pretty scary.
So that brings us into the question of down the road, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we'll have pictures, and hopefully I'll get Jack's report by then, before our next workshop meeting. So we'll have more discussions about that at our house.
Okay. Did it improve?
Guys, I'm not here all the time, but 4th of July, the events that you're going to have, the fireworks are going off. Are there any plans for any events in the Kite Park area, like maybe a barbecue cook-off, a wine tent, anything that'll just feed the crowd and dine them a little bit, you know, just have something down there besides the fireworks that could be profitable to a lot of people. I can think of three barbecue cook-off places, the Lions Club, the Alex Club, this guy over here by the tent. They all love to get involved. It might be something that we can benefit off.
I think Henry is in charge of that fireworks.
What's that?
Henry is in charge of the fireworks this year at the Fred Meyer store, the manager.
He's organizing it.
Right. He's organizing it. So.
Okay, so has he asked for the kite field?
No. I don't believe so, but you could contact him.
We do have an event application put in for, I think it's the Saturday and Sunday, the second and the third on the boardwalk. That's supposed to be happening.
On the boardwalk.
On the boardwalk out there.
But not the kite field.
No, and the kite field, just so you guys know, me and Gary attended a meeting about the fireworks show out there, and the sheriff's department actually has asked as little alcohol as possible to feed the people out there.
There was no alcohol.
I mean, you know, if we just, he doesn't want any alcohol. It makes their job very difficult with the amount of people and the amount of people that are coming down here. It causes a lot of problems. So people bring enough beer and everything down here as it is that the event, as far as the kite field and the congestion it causes, it can be a big hindrance to the operation of it. I get where you're coming from for it, so that's why he's having an event out here on the boardwalk, but alcohol during the 4th of July on port property would not just be a no.
Yeah, well, what's the difference between an event, boardwalk, and the kite field? They're both going to serve alcohol.
Parking, one, access, two, and him having a event up here, he has the licensing and the ability to do it. Anybody at any time is able to turn in an event form or, you know, be able to do it, but there is requirements and limits to what's going to happen.
Okay. Just thinking about the RVers, and there's a lot of money to move this block across the street and get something to eat or see a dog show or some live music, something.
Okay.
That brings us to action item A, the non-Moritz charter fee.
Oh, make a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Which motion am I making?
I make a motion to approve the management reports of January 2022, safety security report, financial report, harbor master report, and port manager report as discussed.
Second.
Okay, thank you for reminding me of that. I forget that, I think, almost every time. I don't know why. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That brings us now to action item A, the non-Moritz charter fee.
All right, so this has been going on for a few months that we've been talking about. Last regular meeting, we established the calendar year beginning January 1st to December 31st and developed a decal for that time period for non-chartered vessels.
Non-mortgage
charter fees. We were recommending $300 per calendar year for the non-mortgage charter vessels. The fee can be paid at the boat launch machine or at the port office. Decals would be available at the port office during normal business hours. You know, if they pay at the launch machine, they can come in and present the receipt and they get the decal. We are matching the colors with Oregon State Green Board. Danielle got the information. So this current year would be orange, next year it's green, following year's red and blue. They did say that they would put this information on their website and pass out the information that we're going to start this to help them pass out their information to the charter boats. Let's see what else. We did find out where they recommend the sticker to go. So that's in the packet. Shows the stern of the boat. So that's where we would recommend to have it, I believe. What else? The kiosk, we've already updated the kiosk to show the purchase of the non-mortgage charter fees. We took off the storage space purchasing from it because we're reducing this space already, and we're going to be running out of room, so this is going to make it easier for us to manage. They just come in the office and find out if we have space for a trailer boat storage. What else? Any other questions?
Have you got any feedback on whether the charter boats want the decal on their boat as far as the ones that are moored?
No, I don't think we need to be talking.
I talked to Tidewind Kyle, and he seemed to not mind as long as it was a presentable sticker. One thing that I was considering for the boats that usually moor here, so every year they're not scraping off a sticker and putting it back on, that maybe we just give them a Port of Brookings sticker, you know, just maybe one that's not the same color. that they can put on the boat so they don't have to change it every year. I don't know how all of them are going to feel about putting them on their boat every time we haven't asked that question.
I personally think they need to have them on displayed on their boat. I mean, it kind of negates the, having them if we don't have them advertised. And that shows the other transit operators that these guys have paid.
We have to put our marine stickers on every 2 years. What if you have one where it has the main ports of Brooklyn Harbor, and then you just adjust the number for every year that you have to renew it? So you have a smaller sticker that's put on top of that one that has just an open blank space. Just redo the number every single year. So then that's going to be scraped off of that or even moved up on that. So then you're not having to replace that entire sticker.
But it's colored. It's colored to match the marine.
Your number could just be black and white, and you just have a separate blank space with that sticker.
Kind of like your license plate. So you're saying if we issued basically one of these, and then for you to be valid, you would have the color of the year below it. That's another option. I mean, I'm open to anything to make this as painless as possible.
Well, I do like the notion of having the moored charter vessels have a decal on them for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's in keeping with what we're asking other people to do so they're easily recognized. Secondly, this is going to give us a better opportunity to understand how many charter boats we actually have here. We know the ones that are here that are obviously charter boats, but some of the stuff that's coming and going, we don't know. And I've been asked, well, how many charter boats are there? And just off the top of my head, I can think it was about 19, but I don't know for sure. So to be clear, if they buy this $300 sticker, that goes on their boat, and the idea of that is because they are using port facilities for commercial purposes. It does not waive their launch fees, doesn't waive anything else. That's just strictly a business sticker. So they still pay their launch fees or get an annual permit or pay $5 a day for that. Okay. Anything else? Okay. You want to make a motion?
So are we, before I guess we get there, so you guys are good with having these colors printed off and how to put this on each?
Or the blue sticker with the colored year?
With the colored year. I mean, I guess that's your two options. It would be a blue sticker with a colored year that we would purchase that would match the number of the year would match the color.
Or colored.
Just a colored sticker.
But if we don't change our colors but every 2 years.
Oh, we change it every year?
Every year.
No, ours. I thought you were doing it to match.
Yeah, every year it changes.
Very well.
They'll
still match.
Does my green sticker change every year?
It does, because we buy them on a 2 year basis.
Right.
But every year, I mean, if somebody is in between your years.
Well, I just don't know how you're
going to
keep track of that if they don't change, the color doesn't change every year.
Well, all their other stickers are like that. When you buy another, I mean, if you got a guide sticker or a road permit or some of those, they change like that.
Yeah, if you look on the back on Oregon State Marine Board, so for 2022 it's orange, for 2023 it'll be green. 24.
Okay, so theirs does change.
Yeah, that's how we're basing our colors, so it'll match your registration sticker.
Yeah, okay, now I get it.
That makes sense.
Okay. And those colors also match the Coast Guard certification, so it's nice to have all those colors the same.
If I remember right, that color scheme was a requirement of the 1972 Motor Boat Safety Act for registration, so that no matter where you went in the U.S., if you had an orange decal and it was an orange year, the boating officer knew. Now, in the case of 2 years, and I dealt with this with Oregon boats when I was working, you'd get stopped a lot if you didn't have the right color.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to get a ticket, but, you know, what you did be an inquiry.
Good, just so it makes it easy for the staff to recognize, you know, to identify.
I guess my preference is, I like the suggestion, but my preference is to have one standard decal. And if the charter boats feel that's an issue for them after they've done it for a while, then we might reconsider what we want to do. But I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, it's certainly not for all the guides. You know, they all get a new decal every year, and so I think these guys can figure that out. And again, if it's if it gets to be a big kerfluffle down the road, we can talk about it. But
okay.
I prefer we just start with one and go with it.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of two questions. The placement of them stickers going to be standardized?
It'll
and also, are the river guides that are using the port, they going to be part of that too, right?
Any type of guide, if you launch out of the Port of Brookings or use the Port of Brookings facilities and you're registered as a commercial guide boat.
Or hire.
The only question that will be the steelhead guide who come down here to clean their fish.
It's not for commercial use. At the station is not, you know, even if you're a guide and you have just one person with you, that's a commercial use. That's not supposed to happen. So that's the best answer. I know what does happen is you can't stop them every time, but it is prohibited to do that.
Right. Okay.
How about the standardization and placement?
Well, there's a picture here where we suggest the place. And by law, it'll have to be in the aft portion of the boat. It can't be forward or halfway because that's reserved for the registration side. So it will have to be aft. So we've got just an idea here that it's got to be in the aft.
Okay.
And trust me, unless they're brand new at it, these guys aren't going to have trouble with this, because they've already got this requirement from the state. So it's going to be just another spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as having a lot of stuff on the side of their boat, I can't feel a lot of sympathy for them when you see them, because they've got
their whole boats
screaming real.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they come from Rogue River, will they have the same decals we do? Brookings, or is it, you know?
They'll have a Rogue River decal, or more oval, but they're the same color scheme.
Same, okay, but so we'll honor that here? I mean,
no.
If they have that, no?
No.
Good?
No. This is specific to here. And they're different. I mean, the Rogue River is a permit issued by, I think in that case, the Marine Board. Some of the ones we have issued here on the Checo River issued by the Forest Service. But those are required if you're going to guide in certain places like the Rogue River. You've got to have a Rogue River specific permit.
Good.
I think, and I don't know exactly why, but I think it comes from the Marine Board, if I'm not mistaken. But. Okay.
So Richard, to make this motion a little more clear at the end, because shouldn't we say to inform charter and guide?
Are they different?
Well,
I think they are different. What guide boats? Guide boats.
Well, it just says that, you know, signs that's needed at the boat launch ramp, and the kiosk is to inform charter boats and guide boats.
Another way you can do it is call them for hire boats.
Right, but anyway, I just thought we should make sure we didn't miss that.
Yeah, because there is a different designation for charter boats and six-pack.
Right, and in the motion above, it does specify charter and guide vessels.
Okay, all right. Okay, are you ready to make that one?
Okay. I'm happy to for you. All right, I would make a motion to approve non-moorage charters, guide vessels, and annual fee of $300 from January 1 to December 31st, and approve placing a port decal on all vessels that charter or guide from the Port of Brookings Harbor beginning January 1, 2022, and approve placing signs as needed at the boat launch ramp and kiosk areas to inform the charter and guide boats.
I second it.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second by Joe. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Well, thank you for the work on that.
for the information. It looks great.
Yeah.
Brings us to action item B, the appointment of a budget officer.
All right, last 4 or 5 years, Kim's been our budget officer, and I'm basically requesting that she continue that position. We do have a budget calendar attached. We'll give you an idea of what we're looking at for our budget committee meeting. The budget committee meeting consists of the current board here plus 5 more positions that this board actually appoints, and they have to be living in this area, this district, of course. And right now we have 3 vacancies, and we are currently advertising to fill those vacancies. And so far we've got 4 applications. So the next regular meeting will be filling those positions. That's it, unless you have any questions.
Who reviews those applications?
You will be. Yeah, we're going to have a selection process.
So I would recommend when we get to that point, what we'll do is we'll take all the available applications that we have and review them, and then we'll each individually give them a rank score from 1 to 5, with 1 being the first choice. We'll give those to Gary, and we'll pick the top 3 people off of that list.
Yeah, and I plan on having more discussion on this in the next workshop too, on our selection process, so you guys all know, understand what you're going to be doing.
So is there a whole bunch of people foaming at the mouth to become a budget officer, or is this Paul again?
She's very expert. She's very expertise. She knows what she's doing on that.
Well, I'm just being facetious.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a...
There's nobody knocking at our door aching for the budget officer position.
I wouldn't think so.
Kim does a wonderful job.
She does.
And it's a, you know, when we look at the budget, it's nicely done, easy to read, easy to figure out, but I know that there's a lot of manipulation that goes into making that document read that way and look that way. That's a little more complicated. So it's a big job.
It is.
Okay, we want to make a motion about appointing Kim as the budget officer.
I make a motion to approve Kim Boone as the budget officer for fiscal year 2022-2023 budget.
Seconded.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve Kim Boone as the budget officer. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Informational item.
All right, our next workshop. Sorry that I got COVID. I finally missed our workshop before this meeting, but made this meeting short. So I plan on having quite a few items on that workshop, and I'm putting a meeting back together now, trying to find out what our lawyer's schedule is. But I'm looking at probably next Thursday, the 24th. I know Sharon's already going to be out of town. But time-wise, if we don't have this workshop, we're going to be talking about court rates and a lot of other things in this packet. And I'd like to be having this information at our next regular meeting to have action. So time-wise, we got to have it back in the next couple of weeks. I don't know what everybody else's schedule is the next couple of weeks.
You can do it in the afternoon, and I'm good on the 24th. I can't do it the
Okay. Or we could do it the following week, but if we go pushing any further than that, it's getting too close to the next meeting.
I wouldn't kick the can too far down the road. I think if we do it next week, that way we'll have some flexibility if something else comes up.
Yeah. Is Friday okay? Thursday or Friday? But like I said, I don't know what our schedule with our lawyer is. I'd like to have him available because we're going to be talking about a lot of things that you need to have input on. And I'm sure you're going to have questions. Throw at them.
Any day is fine with me, so.
Okay. All right,
so.
The 24th and after.
Yeah, and unless that is a conflict with a lawyer, I'll try to do it Friday.
Okay.
And I'll let everybody know.
All right. Any commissioner comments? Any comments?
That'll be.
I did the virtual online conference, the SBO conference. I did a couple of classes with that. If you guys missed out, it was really good. Very, very good. It was very informative. I appreciate being able to attend that. They had the one I went to was about, you know, like running a meeting, our responsibilities, some of our ethics things that we really need to think about. There was three attorneys that were running the class, and they were very informative. So glad I attended it. And you will be able to do it also at a later date. They will have them posted online for you to go through and view if you want to attend one of their sessions. Like if you've never done an SEO class, you could do one on that.
Okay, anything further? Comment? All right, so our next meeting will probably be the 24th or the 25th in the workshop. Our next regular meeting date will be Wednesday, March 16th, 2022, in this room at 2 o'clock. And with that, we are ready.
Goodbye.
Bye.